that you would disdain the idea of crawler trackers. All those damn fools out in the West Coast were tracks on the track. Caterpillar was big out here in California too. Mm-hmm. And but the colonel was a great man. That's what built up John Deere. He would hire any young engineer that graduated from the schools back there, and he filled his place with engineers. And that's the reason they're supreme today in the business.
Turned around.
And so he took this on. In fact, he's the one that finally was out here when they bought the plant. I was his boy, and unfortunately, he died about the time that they were moving the plant back there, cancer. And reasonably young man, I think in his 60s. But he brought the engineers down from Waterloo, and except for one fellow, Worthington, he's still alive, my best friend back there, then and now. He was interested, but the other, they tolerated it because colonels, if colonel said, if you don't like it, get out, out they were.
Sure.
And
they knew where their bread was buttered.
You bet they better know it. And so we took it back there, and that's where the oven was. And on a cold day, oh, it was one of the raw, we can have them here. Cold day, we were out there, and I was just frozen to death. So the colonel says, after we finished with this demonstration, I ran it up over the track, up over a stump, and I turned it around like that, and the colonel was just wild about it. Except they told me then, I built three of them, well, the Model D is
extended. Finished,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but they weren't telling me. They did the same thing as GP. Then we built 27 GPs, and they became extinct. Mm-hmm. But I remember Colonel took me up to his office downtown. We put our feet up on a steam heater, you know. Boy, I tell you, I was in seventh heaven. Here was the head of Deere and Company. And I mean, that fellow was the head. And he practically had his arm around me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's great.
And that was something, so I'll never forget that. It paid for all the misery.
Yeah.
I must tell you, the BO, so we went through the GPs and we had no trouble with them, except we had a little trouble running a power takeoff the back end. Then we developed the first power takeoff sprayer. We built a 600-gallon tank on offset wheels, which we also had a patent on. There's a picture of it in there. And which we used behind the cleat track. It was a success, but the cleat track people had changed their model, and the track rollers would give out on them. It nearly broke us. In fact, in the end, we were poor businessmen along with it. That did break us. But we went through a kind of a halfway receivership from an RFC loan and finally put us back out. And 37, it was a good year, and then we started up and got the top thing came. But then the Portland branch, and the manager of that was a cousin of Colonel Wyman's. And he too was enthusiastic because they needed a crawler tractor out on the West Coast to compete with Caterpillar. So they could get us one of these B-O chassis when they first started building the four-wheel drive tractor. Four-wheel tractor.
Four-wheel
tractor. From the big tricycle there. And so they got us one. Well, it took us nearly a year to get this built, so I suppose we received that in about, whatever date.
40?
I don't think those dates are. No, it would have been 41, probably.
Uh-huh.
And so we built that and ran it for then a year at Congan Orchards out here, which is all level ground. You must keep that in mind. And we had metal-to-metal clutch plates in there, and we ran them in oil. And we developed, John Deere still using the idea that you, when you pull the steering, at a Caterpillar, you know, you have foot pedals, put the brake on to turn it. And if you put the foot pedal on before you get the clutch turned up, you're doing two things. You're wearing out your foot brake and you're wearing out the clutch brake because your clutch isn't completely
fighting
released.
Yeah.
Well, we, in a little tractor, we didn't have, sitting on the back, we couldn't get our feet up on the brakes. Mm-hmm. No way could we build a brake sitting down low like that, which we had to do. So we developed a cam in there that we put clutch lever back, and it put pulled the clutch out first, and then if you pull it back farther, it brought the brake in contact.
Which is John that band did. That goes on the outside of the drum.
Dropped out. So that's still true today.
Sure.
So when you adjust that, I know you remember, you mustn't tighten your brake band too tight, or you won't get your clutch out. Wait a minute. You don't bring your clutch brake back too far without your brake being tightened before you get too far. You don't put the brake on. I get a little mixed up once in a while. It's been about 4 years.
I do too. In fact, I have to go back and readjust my right-hand brake on it right now because it'll just lock the tractor right in place.
Sure, both brake and clutch are still clutch is still intact.
Yeah,
and the brake
is working.
Yeah,
see, I got to spread them apart a little
that's
bit.
That's right.
Yeah,
as far as you can, and then it works beautifully.
In fact, when I got my tractor, these old—I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
These old timers had re-line the brake band. They put the rivets in upside down.
Oh, dear God.
And that didn't work, so they loosened it up. And then what they were using were the two pieces of flat metal in on there where you hook the brake band in. And they were using that, and they were grinding down on the drum.
Oh, yeah.
And they had two nice grooves,
grooves
in there. And that's how they braked it.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah.
And I got it. I pulled it all apart. And
it won't hurt your drum.
Now, being a backyard mechanic, I took this apart with a come-along. You know, the old...
Oh, yes.
Because I couldn't muscle that
sure.
together to get those pins out of there.
Oh, no.
And it's working.
Good enough.
But mine's running. Yeah.
But this clutch deal, and it worked beautifully. So we built 10. Two of them particularly went to Minville, Oregon, to one farmer, and had all side hill. Well, you take a crawl track work on the side hill, it creeps down, so you pull that upper clutch.
Mm-hmm.
To get those clutches hot, we only had room for about a half a gallon of oil, and get them hot, and they'd start sling the oil to the outside, and next to the hub, that'd get dry, and particles of steel come off, and they'd ultimately fill the gap between the plates. So when you release the clutch, it didn't release. You were the crud in there was
still filings,
and we didn't know what in the world. We had 10 of them out, and 6 of them, as I remember, were giving that trouble. And here we were with a stone wall in front of us. We'd already paid John Deere off. We'd paid her suppliers for all of it, paid her help, and it cost us money. I know we lost money on them the first 10, and we had no money. This is in the Depression now.
Sure.
30s.
Yeah.
What in the world to do? So when you run in, get up that cement wall, you can't go through it, so you turn to the right or left. You got to go do something.
You can't go back.
I had the idea, and I went up and got some Chevrolet clutch plates, dry clutch, you know, thermoid clutch plates, and riveted them on just about a third of these. It's all, by the time we put those, we only had about a third of these plates in there, the number we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to do some conversion of the whole clutch release system.
There were those springs in there.
Yeah, the whole deal. And so, and had to make a new hub for that. And within about we had our own foundry, thank goodness. And I'd go down at night and make these patterns in about 2 weeks, as I remember. These people could take this apart, clean those out, and fill it clear full of oil, and get by for maybe 2, 3, 4 days running. And most of them had their crops in or whatever they were doing, and they waited for it. And her brother Joe, 13 years younger than I, he came out in 34, so that's when this happened, 34, 35. It took us that long to get up to put these trackers on. And he'd take a pickup, and I'd fix up a set of these clutches. Housing, the whole deal, and he'd go out probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon, get there 6 or 7 o'clock, work at night, and with the help of this fellow, and change that one over, bring his old stuff back. We had 1 or 2 extra sets. Bring his stuff back, we reconverted, he'd go up to Vancouver Island, there were 2 up there. Luckily, they were all up within 200, 300, 400 miles of the northwest. We didn't have any in California. We got them changed over, everyone worked there, and it just worked slick. And if we had built, that's where the good Lord, somebody upstairs, takes care of it. We had built 100 of those.
Shipped them
out. Before we got into side hills, we'd have never built another tractor.
Mm-hmm.
But how lucky we were that we found it out with only 10 of them out, and with the proximity to our little factory that where we could do that.
You can regroup.
So it's interesting to look back and see how you can survive. Well, now, if we'd had plenty of capital, why, we'd have kept on building. We wouldn't have worried about this. We'd never come to this, but necessity is the mother of invention. You know? So when you have to, when you really have to, and I mean we had to.
It's
no way out. We had to do something.
Huffy dying. Whatever happened on this, the blade, did you all design that unit too, or
we
had the cables, the entire unit?
Yeah, that whole deal, yeah.
Then
there's one on, but you saw that down there.
I saw the little hydraulic with your name on it, hydraulic unit.
My tractor sitting right alongside it, the one with, I think the hood is off it.
I think it is.
That's my tractor.
I see.
And it's got that on it, but and it's only got one of the arms. And these people had a dozer on it, but they didn't, the dozer was long gone, but there's still one of the lifting arms, or the cable arms on the side. Yeah. And we had, the thing it is that the designer down there, he had these grandiose ideas that, you know, oh, boy, we put that cylinder down, hide it down in that tube, and nothing would ever happen to it and all that. So, of course, that's bad because you never get down to repair the darn thing.
In the muck and the mire.
Taking the whole thing about.
Sure.
But it, that was a nice, dreamy thing. But I had fun with that case. You notice the taper to it? I'd seen something, some casting of that, and we had our own founders where I could do that. That instead of making it square, you know, mm-hmm. I made it, mm-hmm. you know, tape it with round corners. Mm-hmm. And it is nice yeah, looking casting, yeah, nice looking.
I don't have that on my tractor. There's a couple other.
Well, if you don't have the dozer, it's redundant.
Surely, yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it your idea to put the rubber on that one track down?
Yes, we made it, but the.
Those are special pads, though, aren't they?
Yeah, well, we took a piece flat piece of steel and sent it to something Rubber Works in Portland, and they did that for us. I made the design of the die. We made the die mm-hmm. with the chevron shape, the tread, mm-hmm. and yes, and that rubber, and that's, gosh, that was made 40 years ago, probably.
What was its purpose, for parades and
industrial work, in other words, around paving and warehouse. Mm-hmm. During World War II, mm-hmm. Some dealers sold two of them to over to Seattle, where they go down in these ore ships or something, and they'd let this little truck down and clean
sure.
up and scrape
sure.
off, and that's where it would have shown.
That's a really neat idea.
Yeah, and so now Caterpillar, I just read in one of the trade magazines, Caterpillar is, because they need to have something else to build, they're going into not only the rubber tired tractors, big ones, mm-hmm. Well, they built those for their big scrapers anyway. But they're going into a rubber track tread deal, which I wondered why. If I started building a tractor tomorrow, I'd start for the rubber track. Mm-hmm. People will pay it even on the farm because it gets just as good a traction.
Sure. And more flexibility.
I think more better traction than, except maybe in tight sod, maybe the sharp grouters are better there. But the sharp grouter tends to just it does its own job of plowing the soil. With the rubber, it really grips.
And you can do more jobs, go more places with the rubber. Right?
And since we've got 40,000 mile tires now, no problem. Mm-hmm. Back then they were what, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8. If you were lucky.
Yeah. Sure.
And so the advent of the rubber now, with a properly designed plate to attach it to, would mm-hmm. I think outwear the steel.
I'm thinking of going back with my camera and do a little photographing. The foot plates, I didn't have any of those. That's the first time I saw them on one of your tractors.
Yeah, I'm going to take those. Bob sold his foundry out. See, mm-hmm. we had a foundry down there, too. Mm-hmm. We initially had a foundry up. Do you know where the old plant is?
No, I haven't been able to find it.
You go down South First Street, okay, and on your left you'll see a Pepsi deal on the right. It's the only big building. It's where just before the streets come, for second and third come into first. It's just, it's a building on your left. You can almost still see signs of our Lindemann Power Equipment Company. It's a big brick building. I'd say it's 150 feet, nearly 200 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it across the street from the Northwest Power one that exists now?
Oh, no, that's way down.
That's
Northwest, way down. No, this is up just below, it was in the... If you look in the phone book for the Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company, it's right across the street.
Okay.
Pepsi-Cola Bottling.
Well, we're going back out that way in a minute, so we'll see it.
Yeah. Yeah, on the left, that's the plant.
All right.
And
it looks like you had an entire block.
Here.
I couldn't pick up the street.
Here's the front. This is the front. This went back. This is South First Street. Now, this is all cement now for parking, but there's the mm-hmm. building right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's on it, but it still has all the... windows.
Okay.
And then we built this extra, and then we built this to build a hop picking machine. And then we had this whole area of the cement floor, and I had hop picking machines. We built them back. We built 50 some one year, and they're a big machine, almost as big as this room.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the building right there on your left as you go down. You can't miss it.
Oh, right.
Everybody, when they give me direction, well, you can't miss it. That's the one I miss.
Then you go right on down.
They see it so easy in their mind. Well, the first paving to your right. Well, there are 2-3 pavings before you ever get down there.
That's just great. Now, I want you to put that in your wallet if you
Well,
want
I'd
that.
Be happy to. Sometime, what I wish you people would do, if you come over here, give us a ring and come up to the house.
thank you. We knew this came up at the spur of the moment, and what I was going to do is get some material together, so this late fall and early winter, I'd write an article for one of these two. And see, and if I get a successfully into the magazine, I'll ship you.
Give me a copy of it.
Sure, ship you a copy. Now, didn't you have a relative other than Bainbridge Island? Get a little thirsty.
Well, now, I'll tell you.
Niece?
Blaine Noonan, the sports writer, and he's a good one for the Times, and his wife, that's my brother Joe's, who just passed away last year, 2 years ago, daughter and her husband. He started out with the Oakland Tribune. Had a sports editor down there, traveled all over the country, these games. He just last week, he really wrote a dilly on the University of Washington, the manner in which they beat Oregon. He was on Oregon because he came from Eugene. Anyway, but he was right.
We're graduates of the UNW. Go ahead.
This big black fellow, I guess, just pounded this poor quarterback out of the job. And had that quarterback stayed on for Oregon, we've heard from other writers, too, and people who were in the game, that Oregon would have won that game. But just brute strength did it. But Blaine, but anyway, that may be who you're speaking about. There are no Lindemans that we know of over there. But that would be a niece.
I thought the niece was going to take one of these three or four that Bob had out there and take it to Bainbridge Island.
Yeah, they get the one, I think, with the bucket on it.
So it isn't there yet then?
No, it's still there. One of the bucket on, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you ever go over there, be sure and look them up. But you'll see his picture every Sunday, at least, in the Times, Blaine Noonan, N-E-W-H-N-A, a heck of a swell fellow, and they got a marvelous family.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Norma, you haven't had a chance to ask me any questions.
No, I asked about the rubber. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. We're building a bathroom. Now, this has nothing to do with track. Oh, wait a minute. I had to put a cement floor about the size of that bed, maybe a little larger, up in my place. My wife and my family, I have two sons, a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have one of those tractors. Well, I want to get a better one than this, but it's the best I have.
Who's doing the pushing, Bill?
Bill's one of them. Yes, he's most active, but he's closer at hand. Brother Bruce, or son Bruce, we had two boys and then a girl. Our oldest son had two boys and then a girl. Our second son had two boys and then a girl. Our daughter spoiled the whole deal. She had a daughter and then a son.
Oh, dear.
Isn't that strange?
That's interesting. Yeah.
And, so anyway, we're putting. A wife has art. She'll be 84, but she just is. If she were here, you wouldn't even dream she's that old. Perfectly healthy, except she's down. She was just down yesterday. She has a root canal.
Having a battle with the dentist. Right?
Yeah, but she's not too bad. She's only had one or two teeth she's had to battle with. But she, with her arthritic knee, we have the only shower. They built her house, and we moved into it in 50. The shower in the tub. Well, she's one, afraid of slipping. Two, she's unsteady on her feet because of this arthritis. She's afraid of falling in the tub, so she just won't do it. I kid her by saying, it's hell living with a woman that hasn't had a bath in 2 years.
But you say that with a smile on your face.
She had to go to have her hair fixed this morning.
This man wanted to make sure that I said, Barney.
Oh, yes.
That I said hello to you.
Oh, yes.
He was going to come over in the Union Gap area, but I don't know if he made it in time.
Well, I hope he puts me up when he's over here. Barney was very capable. He went to Boeing. John Deere closed. They bought the plant in 46, and then they closed it in 54. Mm-hmm. So then those fellows, a lot of the engineers, we had about 7 or 8 or 10 engineers there, because we were building a terrific variety of things. Mm-hmm. And they went to the coast, most of them. And two or three of them, one of them just died. A young kid that was in our engineering department went to Richland down here. Mm-hmm. To
the old atomic energy area.
Yeah, and he just passed away.
Well, Boeing, John Deere, by buying your plant, of course, eliminated all the patent squabbles.
Yeah, we didn't have any patents. The patents on tracks, I spent, when I was back there, and I told you, when just before Roosevelt was elected and their plant was down, and they said, you know, We feel back here that if Roosevelt selected the grass, is really, remember, Hoover said, you may not remember too young, but Hoover, the Republican, claimed that Roosevelt selected the grass to grow on the streets of America.
Yeah.
And they said, well, this patent attorney said, you know, we really believe it back here. He said, we're down. He said, we can't see anything way out of this thing. They were really depressed. But anyway, he and I sat down and went through patent before John Deere would even think about what they're going to do. They wanted to, they thought about having us build the tractor, or they'd start building a crawler tractor. This is now 4, 5, 6 years before they, oh, longer than that, because this was 32, and they didn't buy the patent in 46.
Mm-hmm.
And so they looked up patents because they were very concerned about that. And so I got the real fellow that really had the patents on track was Lombard. You don't remember during World War One, at least, and Lombard is still in business, but they built a track on the trucks. Lombard, trucks.
Remember that? This was trucking. They showed some of those old trucks that were converted to tracks.
Actually,
for World War One.
That's the fellow that had the original patent. Hope didn't have much to our surprise, sort of patent. So that was, incidentally, on that score, one of our big other connections with the manufacturer was Harry Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, just before, one of the reasons, one of the things that when John Deere bought the plant, we had just started building a transplanter for vegetables to go on Ford Ferguson three-point hookup. And we'd also built a two-way plow for them. And that started in 40, and that was a sweetie. We had an order for 10,000 of those little plows from Harry Ferguson after we'd built about 400 of them. They ordered 10,000, and we had built about half of that. We'd build 50 a day, 250 a week, put them on a flat car, go up to the bank, take the freight bill, and get our money. We had that arranged with Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
And we made $18.60 on each one. We really looked very closely. And then Ferguson and Ford, you remember, split up when young Henry went into the plant?
Yeah.
And so, but before they did, John Deere was buying the plant, and all of a sudden they came and said they had the whole deal made up, can't do it. Why? Federal Trade Commission is not allowed to buy it. Wow, we needed, so we'd been running 400 and some people, and we helped, 400 people, we had a payroll of only $28,000 a week. Today it'd be 280,000. And we needed this sale because we couldn't support it. We had, the only capital we had was $158 my brother and I put in to start the crazy thing. The rest was what we, and we never had any, took any cash out of it except for bare living expenses, and that was bare.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ferguson then split up with Ford, and well, first, what to do about it? I said, I'll tell you what, why don't we do this? Again, I was up against this stone wall. We won't sell you the Ford. I knew I'd get just as much for that deal, which we did, without, because they didn't like Ford. Board taken with the business, as much without the business as with it. I said, you keep building these plows every day, and we'll give you the profit on them. You get whatever, we're getting $89 or something for them, and you build it as though you're building it. You keep on building it, and then just as soon as we can find another place, we'll take it down there or cancel the deal with Ferguson. So that's what started Northwest Equipment Company. So they kept building in that summer of 47, and the fall of 47, we started north. We also the hop picking machine. They would finish the job we had. We were building around 50 that year, and it was highly profitable. I said, you'll get the profit out of that, of course. And to be delivered in 50, they bought it in 46, to be delivered in 47. We were just starting to build them, really. And I said, you take that over, and then we'll move it and the plow down to another place. And that's when we started Northwest Equipment Company.
Let me check on me. The tape and see if it's still running. It still is. We're still in good shape.
Okay. And so that's what really started Northwest Equipment Company.
Understand.
And then Ferguson, later on, sold out. Well, before that, why Ferguson finally canceled the plow deal out because they built a bigger tractor and we had to build a two-bottom plow about it, and they gave us nice severance pay. And we delivered all but about, I think, 2,000 of them, or 1,500.
And subsequently, he went back to England, did he not? Work over there?
They had a factory until just, in fact, I think they still have their tractor factory in Detroit, which they, at that time, though, for a while, he was back in England, and they were standard tractor, standard people, motor I think they called it. They built a tractor quite similar to the Ferguson. In fact, they were building that before Ford built the tractor. And then they were shipping it over, and finally they started building the tractor in what became the Ferguson tractor. Then later on, of course, he sold out to Massey Ferguson, now, or to Massey Harris, and now it's Massey Ferguson. That's quite a, if you ever get a hold of that book, that's quite a story in itself. A
friend of mine has this one on tractors, the entire encyclopedia of tractors.
Oh, you know.
A little background on it, but it's, I haven't gotten into that deep yet.
There's a tractor about, a book about, I sent it back to my friends in Iowa who were Ford dealers. My friends were relatives. We were back there for a big reunion last fall, just a year ago now we went back. And it's a quite thick hardback, just on the Ferguson experience, I think they call it something like it alone. Yeah. And their sale to Matt, they had, he was a screwball with the first one. They had Massey Ferguson. With Ford, he didn't allow that tractor to be built without his men taking every transmission that had his gadget in it for this hydraulic lift, tear it completely down after it was built and tested, tear it completely down and inspect every part of it, and put it back and test it again, adding costs and costs. And that's the reason Henry finally kicked this thing out of the, young Henry, out of the window. Yeah. And then when he got with Massey Ferguson, he'd retained some of those rights, and they just finally, they went back there and practically pulled it. They paid through the nose to get rid of it. They had to get rid of it. He died in, I think, in a nut house.
Yeah.
I wanted to show you some of these auctions that are going on back there, and you'll see that the old Lindemann is fairly well represented back in the East. I don't know if that particular auction has it, but we never find the price.
Is that right?
But
I wish we would find out what they. Well, they.
Oh, I see some.
They come out here. Bob says a fellow from back there offered him. He offered him $800. Bob wanted $1,100 or $1,200 for this particular tractor, mm-hmm. And the fellow said, "No, I can't pay you that." The next day, another fellow came along and paid it. This poor guy came along 3 days later and was so sick. Bob said he felt sorry.
Now here's some more.
Well, I'll be damned.
We read these ads, but we'd never get a follow up as to what they're actually going for. Even
that's
certain
that dozer. Sure. Buell Lindemann.
Now, where's this one? This was in Iowa.
And there were two of them. When I was back, we were back last fall in that auction. I was down in Moline visiting some of my old friends, and the Des Moines Register had two B.O. crawler tractors for sale.
For sale?
Yeah.
A lot of them are going between $2,000 and $2,500. I've seen some as high as $3,600.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Restored.
Yeah.
There's one down here in Pasco. Dale Petty owns it. He wouldn't part with it for $3,500, I'm sure.
Well, that's the one that, does he bring it up to this?
He had it over in Toppenish.
Yes, that is like new. And I left a card on there. Please contact me and tell me who you are. His grandfather bought that.
His name is Dale Petty.
Petty. His grandfather bought it and just had a little plot and hardly used it. And he gave it to this young man. He's a young boy. He's early 20s.
His son. Yeah. I know Dale Petty. And they took that tractor completely apart, sandblasted, and put it all back together.
It just runs like a new one. A young fellow that worked for us about 7-8 years ago, before this stuff started, there was one that had hardly been used down at a dealer at a little place in Oregon. And he said, he's got it down there, he'll sell that for $450. He said, you can hardly see the. Oh, I said, what do we want?
Oh. I'll take a present at that price.
But the one I sold back for $850, this friend next to where we came from in Iowa, I bought that for $50 out here as advertised.
Oh, my word.
The fellow had torn it down because the gears were out of the transmission. John Deere gear. Well, they weren't. But the gears had mesh only halfway, and finally they wore off. All we did is put them full mesh for what?
Sure.
They're not going to use it ever again. I almost felt like going out and giving this fellow some of his money.
Well, I didn't go through all of this, but in every magazine you're going to see Lindemann's.
Is that right?
And they're for sale, and some are wanting Lindemann's, and there's a fellow in Texas that wants them. It's a real cult in the John Deere.
Well, yeah, the dealers, they get a young Del Bice. I knew him when he was a baby in a baby carriage like this. He just sold out his business over here. Well, I'm disoriented here. And he still gets calls from the John Deere dealers who know him. Have you found anyone home from the forest yet? And he used to really cash in on these. John Deere and their beautiful new deal back there, their big office deal that they built, their Bill Hewitt's $18 million office building, they refer to it. It's beautiful, and they've added to it.
I've never been in that
area. Oh, if you ever get down, go down there. Because it's a tourist attraction. They run tourist buses there constantly.
Oh,
it's really something. It's out in the country and built on the lakes And they must run three or four of these John Deere mowers just to keep them. And it's beautiful. Those lawns grow back there, you know, like you never heard of it. And
I have another John Deere called an AO Stylized. It has the pointed radiator on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on acquiring a GPO, which is the 121st one built.
Is that right?
And it's in pretty sad shape, but it's runnable. But
the funny thing about this two-cylinder deal, it doesn't have to be in excellent shape to start. It starts. I had to spend $132 on the magneto alone and that darn thing. Everything inside the paper. Luckily that I could even get it fixed.
Yeah, it's a Wico C on there, isn't it?
No, that's not the name. It could be Wico. Now wait a minute. Yeah, it's not. It's not an Eisman or a Bosch or anything like that. Wico, I think so. It was a cheap magneto because John Deere bought it. That's what they used to accuse.
You have problems with them and they oxidize. Now I go around at different car meets and pick some of them up anywhere from old $5 to $25 to $30.
You can buy the John Deere magneto.
No. I've never seen one John Deere Magneto.
Yeah.
And Emmett bought that up at Linden. Yeah. And I did want to mention, if you ever really want to see some John Deeres, including your Lindemann Crawlers, there'll be two or three of them up there. The Linden Show.
I've heard of that.
Up by Bellingham.
Yeah.
That's so much fun up there.
No, we had a good dealer, Washington, the international dealer and the John Deere dealer both sold a lot of our tillers up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I must go up there to one of those ones.
Your wife would enjoy it too because it's a beautiful Dutch town and they have...
She's been up there with me. Oh, we stay in Bellingham. They have some hotels up where we stay in Bellingham and drive up there. And she's been up there with me a couple of times. I used to go up there twice a year to our dealer. We had Nooksack Farms up there, a big, big farming outfit. And we built the first 22-foot tiller for them. The vegetable garden, and they had about six of them.
If you ever get up there, be sure and introduce yourself to one of the announcers up in the parade, because if they announced you were there, you'd be just mobbed with the people talking to you about your Lindemann Crawler.
I ran into that down there at Topnish.
Did you? Oh.
Well,
good.
Here this parade is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And a rancher, Halverson's down there. They had I sold the first Holt 2-ton tractors. It was at a 22. It was a small orchard tractor with this handlebar deal.
I think you have
in fact,
picture
Del Bice has a, yeah. Del Bice has the two of those, three that I only sold three. Then we went into the cleat track deal and they quit selling them at that time. And Del Bice has two of them, but they're wrecks. No way to ever recover them. There's too much missing over in his, next to the dealership over here. And now this deal was Howerson's, and they had one, and he and I were talking about, an old John Deere customer of ours, my brother Joe, sold wheel tractors to, he was talking to me, and he was talking about, he said, hey, wait a minute, he says, I'm going to, we want you up there, something like that, all these fellows are involved in this thing now.
Sure.
And I said, something like that, and so, but the thing was gone, and but pretty soon here, this fellow, that announcer, came up, and they introduced him to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I've got to go down to this year, and they've got to make an issue out of this thing.
Sure. Now, Al Burnt, who had the trailer supply.
Al Burnt used to work for us.
Is that a fact? He was the past president, Dale Petty.
Yes, I know him, yeah.
Now, he's a nifty guy, too.
Yeah, Al had, he has in that parade, and he has a Model H John Deere.
A beautiful thing. You remember it, Norman?
It's almost a miniature A and B tractor. And they didn't build too many of them, in fact, we used the hydraulic cylinder off of that, the idea of that hydraulic cylinder, in this Dozier deal of ours, the Model F. Oh, I should buy a teeth that way. I don't know what I'd do it. Now, Albert, he worked for us.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so I know him quite well. Yeah. But it wasn't he got into the act then. I think he brought, I think Al brought the fellow to me, the announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said, I wish we'd have known you were there. Down at Reno.
Well, they'll be doing the same thing I'm doing, picking your brains about when it started, what happened, where did it go. And for instance, I got to thinking, how'd you ever buy so many of those tractors? How'd you get the serial numbers in a straight block?
Yeah.
Well, they turned the line on for you.
Yeah.
Now it's clear.
Right. And you can see, too, because their other serial numbers stopped at that time. Otherwise, these had all been mixed up with other tractors, you see.
Sure.
That was the only tractor they built in the factory. That's the reason they're in secret.
Internet Warrior.
Do you ever go to Reno?
Well, now and then, yes.
So you go off to Harris?
Oh, yes.
Well, as you go out to Harris, we go there at least once a year. Mama is a, she gets her exercise that way.
Yeah.
And she's built up beautiful biceps.
Yes,
she's been lucky as the devil, incidentally. But as you go out and you turn into, on the right-hand side is a John Deere dealership. Mm-hmm. It's now an industrial dealership. But there for a number of years, one of our D.O. crawlers sitting out there painted yellow, that they had it chained down to the ground. And so anyway, I went to look it up when we were down there last year. Well, I went to these people, called them, and they said, no, we bought that dealer out, but he said he still has that tractor. And they gave me his name, so I called him. And you can't imagine what I ran into. First place, he said, I'll come and get you. Will you come down? I want to go out to that tractor. He said, I have it in another yard, and I want my boys and my wife to meet you.
Yeah.
Well, he had two boys about like this, and unfortunately one, a cute boy, was, I don't know that he was mentally incompetent, but he was, I had to pick him up and put, that's what it was, muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad, but they were his father was sold. So he had that boy sit in the seat of the tractor. I stand there, here I was, the designer of, and that sort of thing. And they just were, and particularly those kids. And then I had to go to his house to meet his wife and have coffee there. And I finally, I was worried because the wife is downstairs doing, and Harris doing you know what. And
little exercise.
So I got back. We were staying over that day. Anyway, I don't play the slot machines. I usually go out to Harris. Mm-hmm. I've been terribly disappointed since Holiday Inn took that over, that they sold off some of those tractors.
Yes.
They had two of those gorgeous Mercedes. Roadsters, they got from Rockefeller, went to Rockefeller, and they sold the Redmond off. They still have the other.
I went to see the Packards in that P-38. I flew some P-38 at one time, and that thing just, it's been so long that I couldn't.
Let me tell you something about Packards.
Oh, I'm ready to listen.
In 1930, I bought a 1925 Packard in Seattle, touring car. It had come up from California. Don Lee windshields, remember Don Lee was the dealer on with movie stars and everything. It had the windshield folded down, had the side wings. It had what they called a tonneau windshield, another windshield, and it had wings and the most gorgeous upholstery you've ever seen in your life. So we drove that a couple, 3 years. And finally in 1932, right in the midst of the depression here, 33, I had a garage in the back, couldn't afford to rent because it took quite a lot of gas. I needed one tire, I think. I sold it for $25. There wasn't a mark on it.
$25.
And the fellow took it out in the country to pull orchard stumps, because they had a few people who couldn't afford to spray their orchards while they had to cut them down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he took the body and everything off and put a winch on the back to pull stumps.
It makes you sick.
All of Harris' collection down there, about 30 or 40 of them, he does not have that 1925 V8. He's got a V6. He's got a 6.
Mm-hmm.
But not the straight eight. And it had the wheel wells in the front fender. Mm-hmm. It was just a classic. But today, it would just be really...
That'd be Al Capone personified, wouldn't it?
In this book, Packard, I was reading it again, there's a Packard Roadster in there. And I've got to do, having sold the plant, I'd give $50,000 for it tomorrow morning just to drive it around.
Yeah.
Packard, and they say in there that of all the classic cars, Packard is the, why they ever allowed that thing to go down the drain, I'll never know. But the General Motors deal came in with more money during the depression, and they didn't have the money to continue.
Yeah.
I remember when Alan McCauley, who was the last president, as a matter of fact, when they closed the plant, we bought a special lathe to turn these the steering handles, they're tapered.
Sure.
It was a lathe that you could put any configuration on that tool. We turned the taper on this Packard.
Where'd you get the knobs for those?
Oh, you buy those.
You just a standard.
Oh, yeah, you buy them.
Mine are all cut off on top.
Yes. There's a whole bin full of them down the plant.
Someplace. There you go. You'll have to get some.
Let's go out and get a picture of this gentleman.
I've got to go too.
Yes, sir. Let me just turn
I've got to go see my.